morning and welcome to our Governor podcast. We're very excited to be with you this morning to talk about remote monitoring for governors. And we're time of recording is the 30th of November. So we've been in this strange period for school governors for quite some months now. And as we look towards Christmas and into the new year, we just thought we'd share with you some of the ideas that our fabulous governors around the county have come up with to carry on those really important roles that governors have in school about monitoring and seeing how things are going. And I'm absolutely delighted that we've got a gathering of incredibly experienced governors experts with us this morning. We've got members of our clerking and support team and two of our leadership advisors. And I don't know how many years of experience with governors we could add up between us, but I think it's quite a lot. So I hope if you're listening to our podcast, you're going to have a few minutes to just hear about what your other governor colleagues around the county have been doing. So whatever you're doing, whether you're having a cup of tea or you're doing the washing up or even driving home, we hope you find this useful. So let's go round and just around our virtual table and hear who we've got today. So I'm going to start with Pam Moynihan. Hello.
Good morning. Good morning, Gabrielle. Thank you for that. As Gabrielle's introduced, I'm Pam Moynihan, an experienced head teacher, but obviously now I'm a school leadership advisor, and I'm also sit on the governing body in two schools, one an academy and one a maintained school where I'm a chair of governors.
Thanks, Pam. Pam, of course, playing down the amount of work she's doing there with governance all the time. And I'm going to ask one of my other colleagues, Kerry Newton, just to introduce herself this morning.
Morning, Gabrielle. Morning, everybody who's listening. So my name's Kerry Newton. I've been a head teacher of primary schools for what seems like approximately 100 years. And I'm now a school leadership advisor for Durham. So I work with lots of schools and lots of governing bodies across the county.
Thanks, Kerry. And Kerry has always brings a smile to our face in our leadership advisor meetings because of all her interesting journeys around not just Durham, but actually other counties as well, Kerry, aren't you, with schools? I'm going to go now to our two governance clerk colleagues who are with us this morning, and I'm really pleased you're here with us. So Lynn and Philip, I'll go to you first. Lynn, do you want to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes, thank you, Gabrielle. I'm Lynn Finnig. I'm a governance clerk. I've done this job for 3.5 years now. I work with 18 schools across County Durham, including two nursery schools and one special school, the rest are primaries. And before that, I was a governor in a primary school for 18 years and worked in a primary school as finance officer for 15 years. So quite a lot of primary experience.
Thanks for that, Lynn. That's just such a lot of different backgrounds that our governance teams have in Durham. It's great for our governors to hear that. And Philip, last but not least.
Hi, morning, Gabrielle. Yes, I do the same job as Lynn. I clerk at 16 schools. And I'm also a governor myself as a special school. I'm vice chair and chair of the finance committee.
Fantastic. Governors listening into this podcast, I hope you can hear that you've got a massive range of experience to share with you this morning. And I'm going to start with Philip and Lynn. And I just think it'd be really interesting for governors in different parts of the county just to hear how it's been for other governors during, trying to operate our governance remotely. So what do you think governors have found tricky about monitoring their schools during this very strange time we've had over the last few months?
I think one of the big issues is that the governors are a bit worried about staff time and workload at the moment. You know, staff have an increasing amount of contact time with children, and governors are a bit aware of sort of interrupting and encroaching upon the time, the valuable time of staff. But I think in some ways staff would have governors and to sort of feel that support from governors, and I think they'd be quite happy to feedback. So I think it's something that governors shouldn't be worried about.
I think that's such an important point, Philip, because so many of our teachers are working longer periods of time, covering lunch duties and break duties far more than they would have usually done, and obviously trying to operate remote learning as well. So really good point for governors to be concerned about. Lynn, I saw you were nodding there. Is that something you found with your governing bodies as well?
Yes, absolutely. I think staff wellbeing is at the forefront of discussion at every governing body meeting I've attended this term. Governors are so aware of the workload on teachers. And it's not just the physical workload, it's the mental stress as well, because obviously we're all, you know, to some extent afraid of the virus and, you know, having to do more than you would normally do physically and in, you know, in a limited environment, a restricted environment, and then always have that threat of the virus hanging over you. I think governors are so aware of that and are reluctant to put any additional workload onto teachers at this time.
Yeah, I think that safety issue, I mean, is all important, isn't it? And of course, governors have been so involved in overseeing those safety arrangements with the risk assessments. And I think we're going to try and talk about that a little bit later on. Thanks for that, Philip and Lynn. I wonder whether I can turn to Pam and maybe Kerry as well, and what you've seen about your chairs of governors really work bodies and head teachers to try and support remote monitoring activity. Pam, it's probably worth coming to you first because you're one of those chairs of governors.
I am. I think what I would say one of my main roles across this pandemic has been, in terms of as a chair of governors, was to support the head teacher. So to be that person, to be that sounding board for the head teacher, or even just for the head teacher to offload, because sometimes being a head teacher is a very lonely job, and I think the chairs of governors need to be very mindful of the head teacher's well-being whilst the head teacher is mindful of everyone else's well-being. Another important part for chairs of governors to think about is how you've supported other governors to have the confidence with the technology, because all of the governor meetings have gone remotely now, so it's in terms of running those meetings to ensure that everybody feels that they are able to contribute and that they're not worried about what the background looks like or how they might sound or how they might look on Teams or on Zoom, and to have that confidence to access technology. So that's, some of that has been done through phone calls or maybe through emails prior to meetings to ensure that, look, we all know that you might all be at home. Don't worry if the dog barks. Don't worry if a small child comes behind you, or what, you know, sort of setting that scene and setting that tone. Also, though, it's being mindful that governors are aware of the confidentiality if they are remoting into a meeting from home. And so just to make sure that the governors are aware of that confidentiality, in terms of where are they having their meeting. Are they in the kitchen where lots of people are walking past and can hear the discussion? Because obviously governing body meetings continue to be confidential, particularly at this time. Kerry?
I think that's really important, Pam, and I think what's been really important throughout this pandemic is the support that governors and chairs in particular have supplied to our heads. I mean, I speak to lots of heads who will just say, I've got through this because I've got a great staff and a great set of governors. It's been a lot of new learning for everybody. Most of our experiences as teachers and heads have not prepared us for what's come over the last few months. So I think just having that little bit of flexibility around, we're all learning something new. We're all just trying to keep everybody safe and manage it as best we can. None of us are experts in the field of infection control, unfortunately, or health and safety. But I think by working together, that's when we get really good outcomes. And I know the heads I've spoken to have really appreciated the time and the support and just those kind words that governors have given them at times.
Yeah, thanks for that, Kerry. And Lynn, I think you had a thought there.
Yes, I would like to just say that, you know, we were dropped into this, and I'm a real technophobe, so the virtual meetings, the thought of it horrified me. But sort of finding my feet with virtual meetings and things, the governing bodies that I've worked with have been so supportive and so tolerant when things have gone wrong, when we've had glitches, and, you know, and I remember that feeling of absolute panic if the screen froze or somebody's microphone, sometimes people sounded like they were that chairman from the Wheel Tappers and Shunters. Can you remember that? When his microphone used to break up. And I actually clerk for the special school where Philip is a governor. And it was during one of our meetings that Zoom timed out. And that had me running around the house like a headless chicken. But we all got back on. And I just want to reiterate that as a clerk, I've just felt so supported by my governors that I work with. I don't have you found that as well, Philip?
I have, yeah. I think we all know that it's not ideal, you know, that we'd much prefer to be in schools face to face, but you know, we kind of do that at the moment, and you know, this is definitely a lot better than doing nothing. I think we've got these wonderful opportunities to do things. We wouldn't have been able to do this 5 years ago. So I think, you know, we need to embrace it. And
yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Philip, because I think that there's an opportunity here, isn't there, as well, that we can be excited about and that can actually enable sometimes more of our governors to be involved than when they had to get from, you know, being at work to the school for 6 o'clock for a meeting or during the day. And I know leadership advisors, we've seen lots more governors involved in various activities as well. I think it's important, however, just that let's move on a little bit, because I think when schools originally partially closed, because let's remember they never fully closed, that governors did have to absolutely focus on that health and safety and the safe operation of the school that Kerry mentioned. But we know that that strategic purpose of governance, that oversight, that monitoring, that is still there, and especially around some issues around safeguarding our most vulnerable children at SEND. That's really important that continues. And I think governors have been incredibly creative with some of the things they've done. So shall we just move in and have a discussion about some of the things we've seen our governors doing in different areas? And I know one of the areas Pam and I have discussed a lot is how our governors have really shown some very innovative ways of carrying on monitoring safeguarding. Obviously, the most important thing our governors do, but perhaps the hardest to do if you can't go and walk around a school, Pam. So some really important things governors have done here.
Absolutely. So in terms of not being able to be in the school, obviously, when the children are there, we have to look at alternative ways to monitor that safeguarding. So it might be that safeguarding governors have had an overview of risk assessments. I know we're going to move on to health and safety in a moment, but in terms of the single central record, if governors have been, if their usual monitoring role is to check the single central record, that can be done by screen share with safety measures in place. I know of governors as well who have met with the designated safeguarding lead to discuss safeguarding and to discuss those vulnerable groups and to provide a little bit of support for that designated safeguarding lead in terms of what have the vulnerable groups, how have the vulnerable groups returned back to school, have schools seen an increase in safeguarding, and that link between the link governor and the designated lead has strengthened, I think, in some cases.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And I think certainly something I've seen in a couple of my schools is working with the head teacher, the chair of governors has organised a short survey of staff. And that's included questions about different areas of school life, because you don't need a separate survey for everything. But actually, lead governor for safeguarding has asked a question that they'd like to know about the staff. For example, maybe tell us about the training you had about keeping children safe in September. Maybe a question there to the staff about that workload of wellbeing that Philip and Lynn were mentioning. And Kerry, I'm sure this is something your school have been involved in as well.
Yeah. That's right, Gabrielle. And I think the other thing that we do offer from Durham is we do offer safeguarding audits. So it can be that school might invite us in, we would complete a safeguarding audit, and then obviously governors would have sight of that and any actions that we needed to take, and governors will be able to track that strategically to make sure that the right things were happening to keep children and staff completely safe in school.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the kind of thing that often leadership advisors have chatted to the head teacher about, isn't it, in that autumn visit. And head teachers have often fed back to governors, maybe at full governing body. Pam, I'll take one more from you and then I think we'll move on to health and safety.
Yes, it's not a monitoring discussion, but it's governors have had the opportunity to do online training as well themselves. So they've been able to do level one training online. They've been able to do some safeguarding and prevent training. So that's been sort of an opportunity that some governors have been able to take, because they can sit at home and do that online rather than having to go somewhere for a whole morning.
That's an interesting one, actually, Pam, because certainly at this autumn's half-termly training for child protection and safeguarding for governors, we had much higher attendance than we often get. And lots of governors remarked on the fact that they could dip into an online training session, you know, that was just running for an hour and a half one morning, because they didn't have to leave the workplace. And also they were able to access that as a recording from our training team. So, yeah, good. That's all useful, isn't it, in supporting governors' monitoring. Let's think about health and safety. And oh my goodness me, have we ever seen such long risk assessments in our lives? You know, certainly Pam, Kerry and I have got some quite significant experience under our belts in schools, but I think none of us had ever completed anything approaching the risk assessments, which we now routinely flick through the 30, 40 pages of the risk assessments, don't we? I think my longest ever risk assessment was taking 250 children to Lightwater Valley. But it pales in comparison, especially to some of our special schools and their risk assessments. Lynn, I think this is one I'll come to you on first. Monitoring health and safety in the COVID era. What are our governors doing, Lynn?
Well, lengthy risk assessment meetings, as you've mentioned. Yeah, that was Clark's delight, I have to say. Some of my schools, before the schools reopened, the health and safety governor actually did visit school following all of the appropriate measures, and just had a walk around the school so they could see what was in place, signage and hand washing facilities, you know, the availability of hand sanitizer, so they could just feedback that reassurance to the governing body that, you know, they'd gone into school, they'd walked around, they'd followed the arrows or the footprints or whatever it was that, you know, the school had provided. And, you know, and could just sort of rest assured that they thought that those, you know, the children would be able to follow that guidance. The other thing that I've asked governors to do, because quite often governing bodies hadn't carried out any formal monitoring, and I think that's changing this term, and I think it's becoming more organised this term. But what I've asked governors to do during their meetings is that any governors who drop off and pick up children, I've asked them to you know, to talk a little bit about how those drop off and pick up procedures are working. And although that's, you know, you could argue that that's bordering on operational, because the actual arrangements are operational, not strategic. I think it's really useful that governors can, you know, be assured that the measures in place are working and it's not causing any problems. So it may not be the health and safety governor that's making that report, but, you know, the governors are still receiving that information that, you know, that this health and safety aspect is robust and fit for purpose, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. And I think that, you know, we are in unusual times, aren't we? Kerry?
Yeah, I'm just thinking that we've seen our risk assessments change as time's moved on. People have put things in place, found that it's been more effective doing it in different ways. So I think a really key point for governors is just to check in with heads. You know, has there been any change to the risk assessment? Why did you feel the need to change it? How effective that's been? Because it's all that monitoring of that adherence to the risk assessment that is so important. Otherwise, they do become bits of paper, and they're there to really protect our staff and our children. So I think just checking in with the head about, you know, have we had to make any changes? Why was this change made? I think that just helps the head teacher to reflect on how things are going and how things are moving as we're finding different ways of making this work in schools.
Yeah, I think that dynamic process has been really important, hasn't it? And, you know, I'm going to come back to the usefulness of a teacher survey, because, as we said, you could have different questions. Another question can just be to staff's understanding of the things that are in place around risk assessment and health and safety. And of course, if you are doing a survey with the children or joining them for a school council meeting, which is another thing I know governors have done, remotely, there can be a question there, just talking about children's understanding of, for example, the importance of hand washing and just what their experience on a day-to-day basis around school. I will share one that's my favourite actually around this, and it's a health and safety governor who can't go into school but has had a virtual tour once a month by iPad with the head teacher escorting the chair of governors virtually around the school with the iPad, just showing them the various mitigations that are in place, and especially the new temporary sinks, which have been such an important feature for so many of our schools. I'm conscious of time, colleagues, and I know that you're giving up your time this morning for me for this. I wonder if we could move on to something which is really, really, you know, one of those constant things that governors are keeping an eye on, and that's the finance. And we know that schools are having particular costs at this time. So I wonder if, before we go much further, Philip, you could just fill us in on, you know, without those really long finance committee meetings, how are governors keeping an eye on public money in school?
Gabrielle, yeah. Well, the thing is, we have the finance committees have been meeting it's been business as usual for them, but we have created a shortened agenda to sort of focus on the key areas this term that has helped the governors. But we've also encouraged this term governor bodies to appoint a governor to review the universal catch-up fund, and that's often been the pupil premium governor. And we have come up with a set of questions that the governors can ask of schools and what's happening. And the good thing is that they're doing that with the head teacher and the school business manager, where they always have that good relationship, so not having to deal with someone that they haven't dealt with it, you know, in the past. So,
and Philip, if governors haven't seen those questions, where would they get hold of those that you mentioned? Has that been in one of our meeting packs?
It has, yes. It's been in one of the briefing papers, and we can send those questions out directly to the governor.
Fantastic. So if a governor's not heard those, they could just get in touch with their clerk, and we could reissue those. Yeah, because I know there's been so much paper flying around this term, even though it's been virtual. I think governors quite rightly sometimes feel they've had a lot of information flying in their direction. So lots of different things here, and some of these monitoring activities, they kind of can be multi-purpose, can't they, and cover different areas of school life. Should we just draw to a close just by really thinking about that real substance of education, something that I know we all feel really passionately about, and our teachers put so much time last year working on their curriculum and the quality of education, and they've worked really hard to get children back on track and get their fantastic curriculum running again. Kerry, I wonder if I could just start with you this time. What are we seeing happening about monitoring the quality of education when you can't really as easily get those curriculum reports from subject leaders and coordinators and phase leaders?
I think this one's a really interesting one, and I actually think this one is a way that the key questions we need to focus on are, what do we need to know and how can we find this out safely? So for lots of our schools, there's been children returning to school who've had real gaps in the learning appearing because they have found remote access to learning difficult. Strangely, with my schools, this seems to be more with the younger children. We're finding more of an impact. So some of the things we've talked about are things like, you know, what's the school doing about that? So a really good way to check on that, I would suggest, is to meet virtually with the children and ask them. I find children incredibly honest. They tell me everything I need to know, usually very quickly, and all the things I don't need to know I find out as well. But just to meet with them, ask them what they've been learning, which subjects they've been learning about, so we can make sure that we are offering that full curriculum. What do they now know that they might not have known before they came back to school in September? What have you been practicing? Because for some of our children, there's been a lot of practice of key skills that might have lost the sharpness over the times when schools were closed to some children. So I think just by having that meeting with children tell you very, very quickly the answers to those questions. And also, I just have to point out to children, to governors, that children love doing that to you. I didn't want to have a child do something similar, turn up with a clipboard because they'd prepared their report in advance for me. So it's a really lovely way to reconnect with the school. I think governors are a part of schools because they're just so interested in children doing well and making that progress. And this is a great way to reconnect with the children, but also to be really checking in on, are the children remembering what the school want them to remember? That's all really supportive information for the school as well.
It is, isn't it? And of course, obviously setting up governors, setting up that safe conversation, making sure that if there is going to be that virtual conversation with children, that all safeguarding protocols are in place, and that all the relevant details have been followed. And it's also, of course, as soon as you get children, it's a great opportunity to ask them about, oh, and who's helping you when you're stuck, and who can you talk to in school if you're worried about things? Those are great questions for governors to ask children. It will tell you a multitude of things about the work of your school. Pam, I'm going to come to you, and then I think we're going to be rounding off.
Yeah, it was just also to add that governors can also ask those questions. Has anybody had to isolate this half term or this term? And what was it like being at home? What lessons did you do at home that you maybe was different to school or the same as school? So you could look to see whether that consistency is there in terms of the remote education. But also, it's a vital role for parent governors if they've had to have their children isolating. What has the remote education offer been like? They would be able to tell you firsthand what it's like to be at home with children, and to be able to access the remote education that the school is offering.
That really good point there, Pam, actually. You know, your parent governors have that unique perspective, don't they, which can be really helpful. And as always, it's about not getting involved in the operational. It's about looking at what are leaders doing to ensure this provision and the quality of this provision. Goodness me, I think we could probably talk a lot longer, but we're gonna have to call it today, because I know that we need to move on to some other areas. And I know lots of you actually got governors meetings today. I know Lynn and Philip are absolutely in the middle of all those full governing body meetings and finance committee meetings at this time of term. So I'm really grateful that you were able to join us today. So I'm going to round off just by highlighting a couple of things. The Governor's Service are producing some guidance and just some pointers and some suggested questions for different areas of governance. And just a reminder about some of the things you can do remotely to keep asking those questions, as well as being supportive, because we need to find that balance, don't we, as governors, when we're working with our schools. As always, in the spring term, the blue papers and further advice to governors will be available, and the governor training continues online, face-to-face, and also with recorded videos that school governing bodies can even arrange to watch together and discuss on Zoom at the same time. So there's lots of opportunities there. So can I, on your behalf, governors, thank the colleagues who've joined us this morning. So to Philip and Lynn, thank you so much for telling us about your governing bodies and everything you're doing. Pam and Kerry, thanks so much, as always, bringing your leadership advisor sort of extra oversight to us today. It's been really useful. So, governors, I hope you found this a useful podcast. I'm going to let everybody say goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye. They've all gone very shy, governors, but they're waving at you, really. So we wish you well. Keep on governing. We're so proud of our governors in County Durham. There are so many of you. Keep on doing the great job that you're doing. And we hope to be back with you again soon. Bye-bye.